Welcome to the Membership Machine Show, talking you through your membership website from initial idea all the way to finished product. Here's your host, Jonathan Denwood.
Welcome back, folks, to the Membership Machine Show. This is episode 109. In this episode, me and Nico are going to be discussing newsletters, SaaS platforms, and the changing landscape of newsletters that we have seen in the past, let's say, year, 18 months. There's some new players entered the field. They have disrupted the actual area. I think it's a fantastic subject to discuss and a methodology that might allow you to grow your membership, get started. So, Nico, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Oh, sure. Yeah. So, hey, everyone. My name is Nicole Ouellette. I own a marketing company. In addition to getting to hang out with Jonathan every week talking about marketing-related stuff as it pertains to membership websites. And I also own two co-working spaces. So, good times for me. And I have three short animals, which may or may not appear on camera. We'll see.
Yeah, she's got her furry friends. There we go. I have no furry friends. That's why I'm mad, but there we go. Like I say, it should be a great show. But before we go into the meat and potatoes, I've got a great message from one of our major sponsors. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Hi there, e-commerce store owner. At Omnisend, we help more than 100,000 e-commerce customers just like you sell their products. We're an all-in-one email and SMS marketing platform that helps you reach your customers, grow your audience, and increase sales. In fact, our customers have seen incredible results with Omnisend, averaging $72 in revenue for every single dollar spent. And if you ever have a question, our award-winning customer support team is available 24/7 every single day. That's one of the reasons we have more than 6,000 glowing reviews and ratings all across the web. So get started with Omnisend today and start growing your business with better email and SMS marketing.
We're coming back, folks. I also want to point out we've got a fantastic free resource, all the best WordPress technology to help you build a membership community website in 2025. Got a created list so you don't have to waste time finding the best products and technology on WordPress, plus a load of other resources that will help you build your membership website. To get all these free goodies and special offers from the sponsors, all you have to do is go over to wp-tonic.com/deals, wp-tonic.com/deals, and you'll find all the goodies there. What more could you ask for, my beloved tribe? I don't know. So I will give you a bit of insight here. My beloved tribe, went a bit potty on this subject. I sent a kind of war and peace list to Nicole. She looked at it. And then after I looked at it, I realised, well, we've probably got two to three shows here, not just one show. But in this particular episode, we're just going to have a general discussion about the new landscape and some of the key players. So, Nico, as I did this dive, you know, we've had a couple of new players, especially a company called Beehive, got Substack. We've got a couple, ConvertKit, which is now called ItDelfKit, and a more kind of traditional player like MailLite. But basically, the three that I initially mentioned, they've really changed the market a bit. First of all, would you agree with this statement? And secondly, how do you see the landscape and how it's changed recently when it comes to newsletters?
You know, I think that as business owners, we tend to sometimes, you know, we make a decision and then we stop thinking about it. So maybe if you're listening to this and you picked MailChimp or you picked Constant Contact, you know, back in 2010 or something, and thought, I'm done, checked it off my list, never thought about it again. I will say that newsletters are doing a lot more than just having a drag and drop editor that allows you to send a CAN spam compliant email to a list. Like there's a lot more going on now, a lot deeper integrations. Even some of these platforms we're going to discuss today have monetization options within the platform versus you having to come up with that. So I think that that's really interesting. I enjoyed this list because I was like, okay, you know, I've been sort of thinking about changing my email newsletter software. And I started looking around and I thought, wow, some of this stuff's really cool. So I'm looking forward to chatting about it today.
Yeah, I was doing my normal work trying to build my business up. I've been watching I've done a load of watching of videos this week for this particular chat with you, and just general research in the background, playing YouTube videos in the background, as you do, reading posts. And there is a lot of conversation around this area. Where I got a little bit frustrated with it is that I think we're going to start with Beehive, is that it looks a fabulous product. And I have signed up for a free account because it's made me wonder, because I've got a small list of about 500 people and it's a very fragmented list. I've pruned it down. I did have a list of 2,000 and I decided to prune it down, people that weren't regularly opening it. And it was very disfocused. It was people, as my business has grown or changed over the years, my target audience has changed. And a lot of the people that were on that list wasn't really my target audience now. They were more local businesses in Northern Nevada. And funny enough, still a lot of them, even though the focus on my weekly newsletter has changed dramatically and it's more WordPress and membership focused, a lot of these people still open it. A lot didn't. And there's a new people that get the newsletter when they sign up for a couple of my leading lead magnets. But it's... And I do send it out every week, but it's not growing. Basically, the new people sign up cover the people that gradually are unsubscribing. So it's keeping to the same level, but it's not growing, Nika. And it's something I really wanted to do in 2025, is grow my newsletter list. But I didn't have any idea how I was going to do it. So I've done so researching for this has benefit for myself. And I really like some of the things Beehive are doing. But then the crux, how do you grow the list? How do you get in a position where you can grow? Obviously, you've got to find your niche. You've got to provide content that they want. I tend to write something personally, but it tends to be short. And then I do what I call curation. Basically, I find stories that interest me, which I share with my newsletter audience. And some of the videos I watched, they also recommended that, you know, short personal piece and then curation. You sign up for a lot of people's email and newsletter and they tend to be just a ramble. As I call it, it's just whatever's coming to their mind and they've thrown it into the newsletter and sent it out that week. Sometimes it can be good stuff. Sometimes I think it's putting a lot of pressure on you having to write something very long and original every week. So I did this dive, Nico, and how do you grow? So there's that tip, find your niche. I was watching one guy that built up two large businesses on newsletters and he now sells courses about it.
As one does.
Well, you know, that's what we're about, membership. I remembered this one I've just mentioned, curation, and then the other one I can't remember, basically. But I think it's more traditional model where you just write, you know, what's on your mind. I think the curation is the easier route to go with a bit of personal insight from you. And then, but then I watched other people. How do you grow to this? Because this is what I really want to know. How do I get the wheel moving? And I think this is what our listeners want to know. Mm-hmm. How do we get the wheel moving? How do we get this newsletter, get subscribers? And you use paid traffic. A lot of them say, well, you use Facebook, and I've mentioned this, or paid traffic on other platforms. Mm-hmm. And I've been at it all week, and I'm frustrated, Nicole, because a lot of these people haven't given a very clear landscape on how you know, in the weeds, how do you grow a newsletter list? I haven't found it yet. I hope that maybe some of the tools that Beehive offer through their referral program Boost, especially Boost and recommendations, mm-hmm. these seem original and some of the other players are copying them, but I don't know if they really work or they're cost effective. So I've rambled on here, but hopefully you can see why I've rambled, Nico. What's your own thoughts about all this and my concerns and the points I've made to you?
I'm with you. My email list is similar in that, you know, there's a similar sort of unsubscribe and new subscriber rate. I will say, like, I guess what encourages me is my open rate is really good. Like, I have like a 40% open rate. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so that means that these people are interested in what I have to say. And like a good percentage of them are. And what I think, you know, the ways that if I've looked back in time and I've looked at times where the blip has gone up a little bit faster, it's been when I have made some kind of what the marketing people, right, call a lead magnet, something that is for free available, kind of like the resource that you mentioned with the WordPress plugins, right, for membership websites that you have at wp-tonic.com/deals.
Oh, thanks, right? Nico. Thank
no
you,
problem. Man. See? But I can remember.
She's in all the books there, listeners. She's always in my good books. I've enjoyed our discussion so far, Nico.
But the thing is, like, if someone is listening to that and goes to download it, even if you don't have 500 new people that subscribe every time you put out a podcast, the people that give their email to download that are interested in what you have to say. And then, obviously, the paid traffic and stuff is theoretically to drive people to the offer. Because otherwise, if some brand new person sees you, right, or they see your ad, or they see a video of you, or they listen to your podcast, like, they don't have any reference to what you are. So they don't necessarily want to give out their contact information right away. So having that free thing basically gives them something in exchange for sort of trusting you with their contact information. But what I think is really interesting, and I like that we're starting with Beehive, is that, you know, it's like if you just want a service that is going to send between 1,000 and 3,000 people a drag and drop email that you make and can schedule ahead of time, there is hundreds of services that you can use for that. But what's interesting about the ones that Jonathan's picked out for us to talk about is that they all have these like little things that add on. And so what Beehive has, and it looks like they have these recommendations that are built in to your template. And so your email newsletter gets recommended on other people's, you know, lists theoretically and you know, and vice versa. You can only get rid of that if you know, they have a free plan that is for, you know, under 2,500 subscribers and under.
That seems very attractive to the people that want to start.
Exactly. Right. And so if you feel some kind of way about like, I'm worried that my competition or whatever is going to show up in my email template in the form of a recommendation if they're also on Beehive, I would think that would be the only reason to get rid of it. But the free version, it comes with a lot. It comes, you know, with the ability to segment. It comes with the ability to integrate with an API. You can use a custom domain, all that stuff, you know, analytics, to be able to do A/B testing. Now you're on the paid plan to be able to be part of their ad network where theoretically you're getting paid.
Yeah, you've got the mechanics. Like,
yeah.
You've got the mechanics, which is like a logic gate. You know, it's a bar that you can put into the content of a post or a page. And they fill in their email to get your newsletter. And then it comes up with recommendations of other newsletters. I've set up an account. I haven't had time. It's the thing that I plan to do this weekend, listeners and viewers. But they do seem to provide a good WordPress plugin, and you can, you've got some customization, not a lot, but that's similar to when you're using a SaaS platform. Even when it's got a good integration with WordPress, it can only go so far. Some of the experts, or so-called experts I was watching, were saying that if you don't use their landing pages and you, because they provide a kind of website landing page, a few of the people, I've got to investigate this to see how true it is. They said that the API that you can access through the WordPress plugin is limited. I've got to quantify what they really mean and is it true? Because obviously I'm interested in not using the Quasar landing page element of, because I've got a website.
Right.
I'm interested in using their WordPress plugin and using the logic bar and the form and the logic bar that you can customize the button color so it kind of matches the style of your website. That's what I'm interested in. So I've got to see that part. But then does it really work without you having to use their landing page stroke kind of website part? And the other, but the things that really interest me, Nico, is their referral program, which is kind of semi-traditional. And then you've got Boosts, which you actually pay other, you put a bounty on your subscribers. You say that if you get I've got to do my research on what is a qualified subscriber. That's the language they use. And basically, you've got a bounty. So if somebody sends you a quality subscriber, whatever that is, whatever their internal term for a qualifying subscriber is, you will then pay the individual that sent that subscriber to you a bounty, a certain amount of money, right?
But it's nice that it has sort of a sort of marketplace ecosystem, because like you said, when you're trying to grow the list on your own, it's difficult. You have sort of limited tools, but if other people also have newsletters and there's this like, you know, marketplace that you're tapping into, that's nice.
Yeah, I butted in a little bit. It's a bit like the concept, you know, you go to town and you go to any town or major city, all the jewelry shops might be in one part of town, or all the Chinese restaurants might be in one bar, or, they tend to zone all the car dealerships in a certain part of the town. So the concept does work, doesn't it, Nico? That,
yeah.
Because if they're interested in your subject, they're probably going to sign up for other, they'd be interested in signing up for other newsletters about that subject. So, and if those people are showing yours as well, it's mutually beneficial. It does make some sense, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you're going to monetize your content or grow your audience, this seems like a really interesting platform. I will say the two things about it that I'm like a little bit about is that for the free level, the only support that you get is AI support. Like there's no kind of like live, there's not even like, you can't even chat with like a person that's like pretending to try to help you, which is, you know, if you feel like you're not so tech savvy, maybe that might be a bit of something to keep in mind. And I will say the other thing, a feature that I use with the email software that I'm currently using is I have a blog and I like to use the RSS to email feature so that like when I write a new post, it automatically emails out to a list of people who want to get that. And the RSS capabilities and removing branding, it looks like it only kicks in at that $86 a month level, which is not the free level and not the next level up, but it's, I think, the next level above that. So
yeah.
If you do use RSS, you know, like I said, you're a blogger like me who likes to automatically distribute content, that might be something to keep in mind as you're taking a look at this one.
Did you, I'm putting you on the spot. I don't know if you've had time to do the research because you've been busy yourself. But
oh no, I made a.
What's the difference? What's the? Oh, I'm sure she's very organized, unlike me. This I do provide decent notes.
Absolutely.
What's the difference between boosts and recommendations?
I think okay, so you know when you subscribe to someone's Substack, I don't know if anyone's listening to this, and then you get to that next screen and it's like, here is something, newsletters they recommend, and you can automatically be subscribed to those, or you can unclick all of them, you can unclick some of them, like whatever, or you could just hit okay and be automatically subscribed to. So I think that's the difference between the
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the other thing too, is the terminology is a little bit interesting, because they did mention, and a term I couldn't figure out is that at the free level, you get 3 publications. And I'm like,
what?
I didn't know whether a publication was a landing page, whether it was the ability to distribute some kind of like PDF document, you know, so like if I was trying to build an ebook, I wasn't sure what a publication was. It seems like there's a little bit of vocabulary with this one. So as you're looking into it, just know that it's a little bit confusing for us too.
So did you find out what a publication was?
No, that was my one thing on the bottom. I wrote 3 publications ? And I never figured out what it was, because there was the recommendations, there was the ad network, there was like the boosts, and then there was the publications.
Yeah,
I was like, wow, that's like 4 words that are very specific to this platform.
Well, I have to delve into that. But the boost, I've just it's a kind of bounty, folks. The recommendation, Nico's spot on. Basically, when you have the fall to sign up for your newsletter or the logic bar, when you put your address in a drop down of what they're recommending, I think you can choose ones that you want to be recommended. They give you some.
Good.
I think, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that happens when you cough up some money. Probably is when you buy it. You get that. It has a drop down list. And it recommends other. But that's beneficial to you because they're doing it with your one as well. I don't know how they make this judgment. I would imagine if you're using the boost feature, they might recommend you more. You're on this recommended list. I don't know how they make that judgment call. So it's all in the nitty gritty. It does sound really good, but if you're using the free plan, are you ever recommended? And how is this? How does Beehive? I suppose it also depends what kind of niche you've got to find. Your niche, a niche that's growing. You know, you use Google Trends, you use a couple of other tools that free online to judge. You know, you definitely want to find a niche that's growing in search terms, and that's something that's not declining. That's going to be difficult as a new player to get traction, isn't it? What do you reckon, Nico?
Yeah, well, I mean, and the good news is it's a relatively new platform. So like if you felt like you're into monetizing your content, or you're looking for a new way to grow your list, and you don't mind learning some new vocabulary words, you know, it seems like there'd be a bit of a learning curve with this, just because it's so different than a lot of other email softwares you're using. I think it would be a worthwhile try to like almost try the free version for like a month, see, and then do the paid version for a month and see.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting experiment, and to go over those results. Maybe that could be a future episode. Not put anybody on the spot here, but
the editor, the actual things, I'm just going to have to try them out.
Yeah.
Listeners and viewers, and I'll come back to you. But as the actual doing something new and new concepts, I don't know who the founder is. It was in my memory banks, but I've forgotten now. I've got to admit, at least they're doing some new stuff, aren't they? They're doing some interesting concepts, aren't they?
Yeah. No, I think it's a really cool looking company. I like the design of their site. Like, it's an interesting idea of, you know, kind of like what Substack has done, is saying like, okay, you know, how can we get you paid as a creator? How can we get you in front of other people who are also producing content? You know, I think it's definitely the cooler version, I would say, of Substack. I mean, in terms of like interface and things like that. So
yeah,
check it out. It's like I said, there is a bit of a learning curve because there is some new terminology and some new features. And it seems like in terms of getting support, you'll probably have to pay to get real support. So just kind of prepare yourself for that.
Yeah, but like you say, I'm going to have to look what this free publications mean
Yeah. I was really like confused about that. And I did look around a bit and I was like, okay, I got to move on to the 40 other ones we're talking about today. So I just kind of made a note of it and I was like, go back and find out. But I thought, well, maybe Jonathan found it in his thing. But there does seem to be features very specific to Beehive. So
yes,
Joel, I'm glad you recommended us talking about it today, just so I could look into it.
And then if you're below 2,500, you're in that what I call people that get in traction that are in the sweet point. That's that between that 2,500 and 5,000. You then got to go, if you go over the 2,005, you're going to have to use skill. And between 2,500 and 5,000, they only give you, if you go above 2,500, you've got to choose the 5,000. And that's the paid plan, which is skill. And it's going to cost you $69 is that the yearly price or is that month to month? Oh no, it's going to cost you $79. It's going to cost you. So it's getting a little bit expensive for 2,505, but it really depends if these marketing elements, if they're really working for you and they're really helping you grow your newsletter, it's worth $79, isn't it?
Sure. And just in case somebody is listening to this, I mean, you can always try it. And what's great about email services is you can export your list of subscribers and you can move on to another service if this doesn't work for you. So you're not like, it's not quite like joining a social media platform where you're building an audience somewhere that you can't move. So just know that you can, you know, always take your ball and go home if you need to.
Yeah. But I think for $79, if you're growing, it's helping you grow your list up to 5,000 subscribers, and these subscribers are opening your newsletter, it's worth $79.
Absolutely.
Because the main reason I wanted to talk about this also is it's a great way. So many people that come for consultation, Nico, for me, they've never built a course before, so they're worried about, you know, the video content, the calls, the quizzes, how do they actually build a membership? And I tell them, minimum viable course. Don't try and build War and Peace. But they've got no marketing plan at all. And you say, oh, make YouTube videos, do this, do the other. It's all vague. I think if you're thinking that you're probably going to go into membership, if you can get people signing up for your free newsletter and then maybe doing a secondary newsletter where you've got more content and actually charging people, that's a great sign that these people are going to be the first people that you can sell your course to.
Right.
What do you reckon, Nicole, before we go for our break?
No, I mean, I think that that's great. I think if people are going to pay for extra content, what you have to do is just set the expectation of what that looks like, whether that's an extra newsletter every week or whether that's, you know, because if people are going to pay for something, they either want more content or more access. And part of what they're paying for is some set amount of that. And as the person providing it, you just have to figure out what that is and communicate that so that people feel like they're getting the value that they're paying for.
So Beehive gets the thumbs up from me and Nicole.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm going to have a look at it, folks. Give us some feedback about how you've, what your thoughts about it are. We'd love to get more feedback from you. And we're going to go for our middle break. And when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the other leading platforms that are changing the landscape of newsletters linked to membership. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Tired of hosting providers that can't handle high traffic loads? Convessio is here to help. Our platform can handle any amount of traffic, all without slowdown or crashing. With immediate Slack support, performance optimization, and a team that thrives on resolving technical challenges, your e-commerce business is in safe hands. Learn more about Convessio at convessio.com.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Lifter LMS, the leading learning management system solution for WordPress. If you or your client are creating any kind of online course, training-based membership website, or any type of e-learning project, Lifter LMS is the most secure, stable, well-supported solution on the market. Go to lifterlms.com and save 20% at checkout with coupon code podcast20. That's podcast20. Enjoy the rest of your show.
We're coming back, folks. So, Nick, you've also got your own online subscription where, and it sounds really interesting what you're doing. So would you like to tell the listeners and viewers about your own subscription online service?
Yeah, sure. So one of my things I have to do as a marketer is I have to help my clients come up with content on production days. And, you know, you can ask them to talk about something all you want, but you know what really opens everybody up is all of you doing some kind of silly little skit together. Or, you know, you show them a cute video idea and they're like, oh, you know what? Carl should do that. And Carl's like, oh yeah, I'm all over it. And they start having fun with their own marketing. So if you've ever wondered, how do I do these fun videos that seem to get a lot of views, seem to get a lot of engagement, seem to make people excited about marketing? How do I find them? How do I do them in a way that's efficient? And that's where Trend Ascend comes in. So if you join Trend Ascend, you'll get a lovely short video message from me twice a week with a trend. And I will link to that trend on TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram, allowing you to attach the trending audio so that you can get maximum traction on each platform. And it'll take you about 15 minutes or less to make the video. That's what I always promise. It's nothing complicated. It's not anything crazy in terms of editing. And it's just something that you can add to your marketing mix to get some additional views on your content. So if you're interested, check out trendascend.com. And you can see the different levels of plans there. But it starts at $49 a month. Bargain.
Sounds bad to me. So let us move on. So let's move on to one that kind of it's been around a bit longer and it's beloved by the traditional media writer set, the digitati, as I call them, the kind of tech professional writer, freelancer, influencer, and that's Substack. So if somebody, you were trying to explain Substack to somebody that didn't really know what it was about, what would you say, Nicole?
So Substack, as its face, is an email newsletter, but it's also an ecosystem. So most of it is sort of long-form pieces of content, and you can subscribe to different people's Substacks. Now, some of them are free, some of them are paid, some of them have a tiered level where, you know, for example, if you are a paid person who's a member of the Substack, you're allowed to comment on the articles and engage. And if you're free, you just, you know, are able to receive them or something like that. So individual publishers sort of decide what they want to offer for free and what they want to offer paid. And in addition to the sort of longer form sort of email newsletter, you know, that gets delivered to your inbox, there's also a notes section, which is almost like short social media updates. And that's, I think, what a lot of people use to kind of grow their Substack audiences. But the thing with Substack is if you read their terms of service, it says very clearly that you own all your content. And the sort of T, what do you know what the T with Substack?
No, I don't.
Okay. So apparently Elon Musk tried to buy it and they didn't want to sell it to Elon Musk. So then Elon Musk, because he's not at all a petty person, has banned Substack links from X.
Yeah, there was a bit,
so then there was a, and then someone basically figured out a workaround to make them work, and it's, you know, gotten tons of upvotes on Reddit and all that. So I don't know if it's like a plugin. I don't know if it's just like some sort of process that you go through to like before you put your link in. But anyway, so Substack is kind of like when TikTok was being banned, they were like, hey, listen, like, you own all your content. We don't do censorship. And so they were kind of seen, you know, as this kind of leading sort of progressive. And I don't even mean politically progressive. I just mean sort of like free speech progressive forms. So, and what's nice about Substack too is that, like, let's say I had a Substack. Cool. Oh, you should subscribe to these ones too. And I could mention other Substacks that I like. So it'll, like the Beehive, it kind of is its own ecosystem. So you can recommend other owls on platforms.
I concentrated on I know nothing about Substack. Yeah, I know the basics.
I've helped three people manage their Substack.
So this is a great combination, as normally there's, but so what's your views about it? Do you think you can, by utilizing it, and they charge, am I correct? I looked on their pricing page and that, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's 10% of revenue. So if you're not charging, is it free then? Or do you have to pay if you're not charging for the
music? No, it's free. I have a free secret one that I haven't told anyone about yet. I haven't paid anything. I know I've had it for like a year. I had this idea that I wanted to talk about, and it didn't really fit in with any of my platforms, and I wanted just to create a place I could put it. So I thought, you know what? Like, I wanted to learn more about Substack. Two of my clients were using it. And I thought, you know, like, let's give it a shot. So I have a free one. I haven't been charged anything at all for it. It's gotten like 5 views. So, you know.
So are there any mechanisms on Substack that if you're a new newsletter in a particular niche that you can utilize on the platform that can promote it to new people that you want, or that the type of things that Beehive are doing?
Yeah, I would say it's similar to Beehive in that, like I said, there's this kind of internal ecosystem. I will say it seems like Beehive has thought through like, oh, like we can pay you, you know, you can pay to be on these other people's things, or we're going to pay you for your content in a way that Substack hasn't really. But like I said, I think they're sort of the thinking person social media. You know what I mean? Like it's like Reddit, but less trolling, you know, it's like long form content and people leaving these long, thoughtful essays about things. And that's the thing is I'll like be listening to the news and they'll be like, in on her Substack, you know, and they like will refer to it like a publication. I will say the thing that I don't like about Substack is that the SEO is kind of meh. Like, it's not like someone's gonna, like, if you went and Googled Nicole Ouellette, you know, secret Substack, or tried to find my Substack, like, you'd have a hard time finding it, I think.
Yeah, Google's not got much love for them, have they?
Yeah. So what I told one of these people was a podcasting client, and I was like, I really think, because they were using that as their whole website. And I was like, I think it's a distribution channel versus like.
So they provide it very it's very basic kind of website, but you can set up, but I wouldn't recommend it. And I think you can do the same with Beehive. They call it a landing page. I don't know what the term Substack utilizes, but I think we're in agreement. I wouldn't recommend that.
And it's funny because now because I set up a website for them, and when I look at their website and versus their Substack, I see that, and it's a WordPress site, I see that like their episodes are getting more view, like I figured out a way, because it's like an RSS feed, right? To like take the episodes, and as they post them to Substack, it gets posted to their website. But they're, it seems to be more found on their website, you know, via search anyway. And yeah, and I'm not saying, like I said, a Substack, like the secondary feature is that it's a website. More of what it is like a newsletter, right? And sort of engaging with people over email, like all these other options we're talking about today. So I'm not like belittling it for being a thing that it isn't, you know, but it isn't, I don't think it should be your only website. If like you were thinking of building a brand, I would build my entire brand on Substack. I would use it as a distribution platform, my opinion.
So, you know, a lot more, you know, like I say, I've been open. I don't know too much about Substack. You know a lot more. But if by looking at B5 and Substack, and you had somebody saying they wanted to build their newsletter list, for what you've found out about B5, which one would you recommend?
It would depend on how important was monetizing their content. How important was sort of RSS feed stuff, and how important, monetizing their content, RSS feed stuff. And I'm just like trying to look at these things. It would kind of depend. It seems like Beehive is cooler. I'm just going to say that. Like, it has a cooler vibe. I would say, like I said, when I think of Substack, I think of like podcasters. I think of sort of reporters and commentators who have like their own sort of personal brand where they're writing, you know, personal essays and things like that. Beehive seems more sort of commercial in terms of like I'm selling watches or something, you know, like it seems like that would be more of like an e-commerce or, you know, or other brand in terms of a fit there. But not to pull this, but I might have to know a little bit more about them. But the fact that Beehive charges so much to access an RSS feed kind of annoys me. And Substack, obviously, like I was able to just port in an RSS feed. I'm not saying it was easy, but I'm saying it was doable at the, you know, at a regular $0 level of Substack to port that over to a website. So I think I just love RSS feeds, Jonathan, is what it comes down to. So, but yeah, I would say if you were like more long form content, more personal brand, like a newspaper or publication, something like that, more Substack. I would say maybe if you're more of a business or you're trying to monetize your content or grow your audience, I would move you more to Beehive.
Now on to the next big player in this, I think they're feeding the heat a bit from Beehive, or they see, and that was formerly called ConvertKit, and they've been around a few years. They are the founder, I forgot his name. Jeez, I'm not doing good this morning. I've attempted to try and interview him, and he did say he would come on my other podcast, and then he bailed out at the last moment. And he really built it up, and he really got a lot of online influencers to recommend it. And it did feel, it was the darling of the influencer that had a WordPress website, but they wanted something that could do that you didn't have to use like five or six different plugins to achieve what you could with ConvertKit. And they've changed the name now to Kit. And I thought, why are they changing the name? You know, it's in SEO terms and in marketing terms, it's a dramatic thing to do. And then I couldn't work it out. But then after going to Beehive, I know precisely, because they're offering now a number of services that to promote your newsletter that are similar to what Beehive are doing. And now I think this is one of the main reasons why they did this rebranding. And they offer more the fundamentals of what Beehive are offering. Obviously, they're marketing your newsletter, the offering has certain differences, and also the marketing automation, they offer a lot more than what Beehive. Obviously, I'm going to have to go into Beehive in more detail. I've got more experience with ConvertKit. So what's your response to, do you agree what I've outlined? They changed their branding.
I think when you think of ConvertKit, like you think of like lead generation, and there's certain kinds of industries where lead generation makes sense. Obviously, in the membership or course world, it makes sense. But I think maybe they felt like it was limiting them. And maybe like I said, if I was an e-commerce brand or something, I would see ConvertKit and be like, well, I'm not really doing lead gen or whatever. I think maybe they're trying to be sort of more open to different kinds of businesses and maybe a little bit playful with just kit, you know? Because like I said, ConvertKit definitely, it feels like ClickFunnels. It feels like ConvertKit. It feels like there's this kind of certain suite of products that is for a certain demographic. And maybe they're just trying to broaden their demographic by changing the name, because it seems like, you know, and this one, actually, maybe I misspoke earlier about Beehive, because I wrote here, free recommendations are required at the free level with ConvertKit. So it seems like they do have those kind of recommendations.
Yeah, they really, because it's on their pricing page, up to 10,000 subscribers, you can use the free product. One user, one admin, as I call it, one email sequence. I suppose that's, I don't quite know what that is. I would imagine it's some form of automation sequence.
Yeah, it's probably going to be an onboarding one, right? Or it's, yeah, when someone joins the list, that's probably like the first automation that you would ever make. And it's probably going to be that.
I would attempt to keep it as simple as, just your focus should be around growing it, not doing all the other, just one focus on one thing at a time, folks. So it don't look bad, but they're definitely with this smart recommendations and these free recommendation with the wording required. I suppose you have to ask to use it. I don't know.
You're fine. I will say something about ConvertKit that seemed different than the other ones we've been looking at are, this like selling of digital products seemed to be a little bit more of a direct thing with ConvertKit than the other ones that we talked about. So I guess if you did have a digital product, you know, so whether you're monetizing your content on Beehive or whether you have a digital product you actually want to sell, you know, ConvertKit might be a better option for you.
But they're very similar. If you need the other tools, which is unlimited, if you go up to the creator plan, and you're between this below 5,000. It's a bit, it is different, the pricing, because like the newsletter, which is no charge, is up to 10,000 subscribers. So, but you've got very limitations about marketing optimizations with the newsletter plan, which is free.
Right.
The next one up to 5,000 is their creator. That's why I say keep your focus and get it above 2,000, between 2,000 and 5,000, and then look at maybe the creator, because maybe that's when you need some more sequencing and automations. But up to 5,000 on the pay plan, which is creator, it's $66. Which between 2,000 and 5,000 with Beehive is a kind of similar price. They month to month. Yeah. Oh, that's not the month. That's the yearly price. So what's the month? I bet it's very, exactly the same as Beehive. So if you're up to 5,000, both, they are really tracking one another, aren't they? Because they're spot on the price as well, aren't they?
Yeah, and a lot of the ones we were looking at, I was looking at kind of the two lowest levels. I was looking, you know, the free level if there was one, and then the next level up. So for these things that we're talking about, we're talking between obviously zero people and like 2,000 to, you know, 2000-ish. And the price difference we're talking about here is between $0 and like $40 a month. We're not talking major pricing differences.
No, thank God, you know.
So like, you're not going to be like, oh, I'm going to save $2 a month if I go to this one. What you'd be looking for as you look across these is for like the features that you feel like you need in terms of like that align with your business goals. Because the pricing is very similar, like Jonathan was saying. So it's not, and don't buy it for the year. Like just, do it month to month for like the first couple of months. And then you can decide to, if you really like it, to buy it for the year. Don't go and buy it for the year to save yourself $5 a month or whatever at first. At least like evaluate if you like it first. Again, just my opinion.
So what's the other ones that you had time to look at, Nicole?
Mailmodo. That was the most expensive one of the ones that I looked at from our things. There's no free plan. And the first plan is $49 a month and you get 2,500 subscribers. It looks like, I wrote basic versus advanced integrations ? So like, I was looking at the page and I was like, well, can you give me some examples here? But I think I remember on this particular page, it did show some examples of integrations. Like this one just looked more like a standard email marketing software. I will say though, it is like a few of these expressly mentioned custom domains. Beehive did, ConvertKit did. Substack lets you use a custom domain in terms of a, you know, I think that's a paid feature though. And Mailmodo lets you use at the second level up, you can have two custom domains. So like that was the only one I saw that did that. And they do have chat and email support, but again, you're paying something. There's no free plan there. So I don't know. This one was my least favorite to me. I do like a good freemium model. What can I say? Of like being able to try something out and then saying, you know what, I'm willing to pay some amount for this now that I understand how this works and I put my time into learning it. And then the other ones we had looked at were MailerLite. Okay, that's more for next time.
Well, no, we can, because it's still a SaaS product.
We're
going to talk about WordPress.
That's true.
MailerLite, the free plan, they really filled in the void of MailChimp, because when MailChimp a couple of years ago was purchased by Intuit, the bookkeeping people, Intuit, whatever they call themselves.
Intuit, yeah.
Yeah, it lost some of its shine, wasn't it? But I think a lot of people moved on to MailerLite, and they have attractive free level up to 12,000 emails. It's 1,000 subscribers, but you can send out 12,000 emails per month. And they're based in France, and they do offer a lot, but they're not offering these more interesting concepts about actually promoting your email that Beehive, Substack and Kit are offering, are they? It's a more kind of traditional offering of, and they do offer a website and a landing pages and a certain level marketing automation. And I think they offer those even on the free plan, but I wouldn't want to build my website with MailerLite.
Well, and I will say what I thought was interesting about this one is that it seemed to have e-commerce and like heat map and sort of detailed analytics. Whereas like a lot of these are like, just in case you haven't looked at email analytics, it'll be like, you know, your open rate, you know, the percentage, you know, how many times maybe people open them, what links they clicked on. Those are really standard. It seemed like this had kind of more deep kind of marketing analytics. So if you feel like you're doing email marketing and wish you had deeper analytics, this might be a good one to look at, because it did seem to have more than other ones I've seen for sure.
Yeah, it's more aimed at the larger small business to medium sized business market, isn't it? It's not specifically aimed at people that are trying to build a newsletter creator that's got a YouTube channel or a TikTok channel, and they're trying to build, or and they're also looking to build out their membership course business. It's aimed at a much broader small business market. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. It does feel a lot like MailChimp. I will say at the paid level, which was 10, so there's a free level and then there's a $10 a month level if you have 500 subscribers or there around. There's a campaign auto send feature at the paid level, which I thought was cool because one way to eke out a few extra kind of email opens is to resend your campaign to people who didn't open it with a different subject line a few days later. That's like a little trick that marketing people do. And I like, it seems like that's built in, which is kind of neat.
Yeah. Shall we go on to Omnisend? They're a sponsor of the show. They've been a great sponsor. So I want to point that out to the folks. They, it's a SaaS service. They do email marketing and they do SMS marketing, text messaging as well. They do offer a great plugin that offers great integration with WordPress. There's different level. You get a lot of, there's a subgroup of SaaS, software as a service companies, and they offer a WordPress plugin, but it doesn't work very well. And then there's other ones where it's okay. And then there's other SaaS companies that provide a really great WordPress plugin integration. Omnisend is one of those that spent a fair bit of money and has spent a fair bit of money promoting in the WordPress community, the quasar freelancer power user agency market to promote. And it's a good product. It's not aimed at our particular listener viewer base, which I think Beehive, Substack and Kit are more aimed at. It's it also they've got their traction in providing this functionality in the Shopify platform.
They have a lot of Shopify integration, it seems like.
A lot. That's where they built their growth and the company was built. And then they've moved into WordPress with a focus around e-commerce and WooCommerce. But you can use their services, the plugin, what they got to offer on a normal website. But for our particular target audience of this particular show, but if you want text, and they do offer a free plan, and it's only 250 contacts and 500 emails, and you do have to pay a certain amount to try the SMS functionality.
I've never seen free SMS services, though. I've never really seen a free one, so.
Because it costs a lot of money. And
fair enough.
And it, their big problem is dealing with the legality of it, because there's tight rules around sending out SMS messaging. So that doesn't really fit into a free plan at all. So, that's it.
Yeah. And it seems like even the free plan has like A/B testing options, a list cleaning tool. I thought that seemed neat. Like, because like who doesn't love going through their soft and hard bounces and like cleaning their email? It seems like they do seem to have some of that. And I really liked that they, I was like, oh, it's cool. Like there's product recommendations, there's product listings. And it was the only one that I saw that had web push notifications.
Yeah.
Of the services we looked at. So yeah, it does look like a cool option, especially if you do have like Shopify or do e-commerce. But again, I know not this audience, but just in case someone else is listening to it and maybe they do have an e-commerce platform that they run.
I can't remember if they apologize if their crew's listed to this. They're based in Estonia or Latvia, that part of Europe. But they're a great crew and it's an established product. It all works and they provide excellent support. I think for the particular niche that we've been concentrating on, probably It's more of a general market with a more of emphasis on e-commerce than MailerLite, which is more generalistic. I would say OnSend is more around e-commerce to some degree. But they want to broaden out as well. I think we've done a good kind of synopsis of the landscape in 2025 if you're looking at email marketing. What do you reckon, Neil?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's worth re-looking at. Like I said, even if you made this decision years ago, you picked something, just look around at some of these options because they do offer some ways to save time and even monetize directly within the newsletter platform, which I never thought I'd see, but I think is really cool development, especially for people who produce a lot of content like I do and you do.
Yeah, next week we're going to be looking at the WordPress alternatives and what some of the key things you've got to know if you're going to use WordPress. It should be a great show. So, Nicole, what's the best way for people to find out more about you and sign up for your newsletter?
They can go to breakingeveninc.com/newsletter, and that'll take you to the newsletter. And my cat Bart really thinks that you should join because he has been on my desk for the last 20 minutes, and I'll let him get back on my desk.
All right, that's fantastic. And like I say, we'll be back next week with a look at WordPress and newsletters and email marketing. Should be a fab show. We'll see you soon, folks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Membership Machine Show. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes and leave a rating to support the show. Until next time.